We're continuing our series on the God of the Bible. Thank you, Lord Jesus, the God of the Bible. And we're talking presently about the trait, if you will, the majestic trait of the sovereignty of God. For that, let's go back to our foundation text for this trait found in Paul's letter, his first letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13 through 16, looking at the sovereignty of God in Scripture. This is review, very necessary review. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and what's implied there, in the presence of Christ Jesus, who made the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Verse 14. To keep all his precepts without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, which is God the Father, will bring about in his own time. He, God the Father, who is the blessed and only sovereign, which is the only absolute ruler. And again, I charge you to look at the word only and then the word after only. I think some have potentate, sovereign. He is the only sovereign, the only absolute ruler. There are no other rulers. The king of those who reign as kings and lord of lords, or lord of those who rule as lords. Verse 16, he alone by himself and no other possesses immortality, meaning absolute exemption from every kind of death, and lives in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power and dominion, so be it, or amen. We looked at the word sovereignty, dunastes, comes from the word dunamis or dunamis, means to be able, to have ability, to have power. And since God is the only one who has power, then he's the only one who alone can be the absolute ruler. He is independent. One went over that word, autonomous, possesses unilateral authority. When we say God is sovereign, we're saying that he is subject to none and influenced by no one. Subject to none, influenced by no one. He is independent. He is self-governing, self-determining ruler that has all authority and all power in his hands. Self-governing, self-determining. Subject to no one. Mm-hmm. Influenced by no one. Okay, how you pray and cry and all this. If that's not in God's will, he's not going to be moved and change his mind. Remember we talked about with Luther's letter, in his letter to Erasmus, that your thoughts of God are too human. He is sovereign. He's running the show. Things look out of control to us, but to God, who in eternity past saw it all before it ever got started, he has everything under control. We'll never hear God say, oops, or man, I didn't want that to happen. Oh, oops, I didn't mean to do that. Never. God being sovereign means God does as he pleases, only as he pleases, always as he pleases. Period. And that's why I go over this again and again and again. There's no one that can thwart, hinder, or stop God's purpose. No one can stop his hand. We'll read that actually in Daniel. No one can stay his hand in the King James. No one can say, hey, what you doing? Stop that. And realize, and this is the hard part for us, realize that God is working all things together for good. That means the good, the bad, and the ugly. All things. God is very, I'm trying to think of the word. He doesn't waste anything. He uses everything that's happening in the world for good. He using the bad for good, the evil for good, and the good for good. And I keep reminding you, you say, well, how does he use evil for good? The greatest evil act ever committed by man was the torture and murder of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That was the most evil, most heinous act. And that act, which was the most evil act, he took and saved the people unto himself for eternity through that evil act. You just got to keep remembering that he used that act for his good. We know that, how that evil act was used for the glory of God. We don't know how all these other evil acts are being used, but they are being used. I know it's hard for us to hear, but you got to keep hearing it over and over and over again for year after year after year. Evil exists because God allowed it. And God allowed it because somehow he's going to use it for his glory. We got to bow down to that. Now we look at evil sometimes as some, you've heard me say this again, but it bears repeating. We look at evil as if it's some sort of separate entity that jumps on people. No, evil, who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of man? Evil is not some separate apparition like a ghost or some sort of force. Evil is disobedience committed by mankind toward the will of God. That's what's evil. That's what's wicked. That's what's sinful. It's not some sort of force floating out there. God allowed that, and he uses it. You heard it, Genesis 50. Joseph speaking to his brothers, what you meant for evil, God at the same time meant for good. So it looks evil to us, God is using that for good. Now what we got to do is, when we don't understand it, is walk in faith toward God and his sovereignty. You follow? Do you understand that? I don't get it. I don't understand why my dad died, or sister dies, or daughter dies, or a son dies, or why my parents had this horrible divorce and just shook the whole family up. When we are not allowed behind the scenes to see how God is using that evil for good, we must trust God and know that he's doing it. Doing what? Using that evil for good. See, Job never saw what we saw. Job just saw all his whole hookup be gone in a day. Family all dead, all 10 children. He was the most prosperous man at that time. All his wealth gone in a matter of hours. And one day he loses his family and his wealth. And then the next day, he loses his health. We know the E True Hollywood story, if you will. We were allowed to peek behind the scenes in the heaven. because God was letting Satan know you can't shake a true child of God's faith. Because the devil was accusing, which is what he does. He was accusing God, accusing Job to God, is that the only reason that Job serves you is because you've made Job prosperous. But I tell you what, God, you take everything from him and he'll curse you to your face. And God symbolically said, you want to bet? That's in the white space between verse 12 and verse 13 of Job chapter 1. Want to bet? Then 13, take the heads down. Everything that he has is yours, but don't touch him. See, Job don't know that's what's going on. Your faith gets tested. It gets tested on every side. Ain't no accidents. When things happen, it's not, oops, you know, oh, I didn't mean that to happen. No, it's happening. And there's the promises that we must stand on, and that is he will not allow us to be tempted, tested, or tried beyond our ability to handle it. Amen. Now, what happens is when somebody says to you, if, like in the future, like I just take this example, like when mama was live and living and kicking and cooking. And I remember, I don't know how the conversation came up, but you know, I don't know how it came up, but something like, you know, mama, if my mama died, I wouldn't be able to handle that or something of that nature. Because when you think of something so unexpected and so grievous as the loss of a child or your mother, or your father, when you think about it in the future, you're like, man, the way I can handle that. Yeah. Because in your own strength, like, no, that's just beyond me. But the day came, and mama did go home, and it was a sudden thing. God allowed it, so if God allows it, you gotta stand on that word, well, I mean, I can handle it. Amen. That means what you gotta do. We talking about faith. You know, we just throw faith around and we don't, you know, thank God here, I think we got a better understanding than a lot of folks, but faith is having absolute confidence, unshakable confidence in God, that what God has promised, he is able to perform and pull it off. Well, God, you said that you'll not put on me more than I can bear. This is a hard, hard thing here, but I'm going to make it through this because you can't lie. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't even see how I'm gonna make it. But I'm gonna make it. Because you said I would. That's faith. That's trusting God. Man cried. Job cried. How many times did I tell you he showed, he demonstrated the classic signs of grief for a Middle Eastern culture. For Middle Eastern culture. Word of God said he did three things. He tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground. He collapsed under the weight of that news. But while he was down on the ground, he worshiped. Hallelujah. Never said it would be easy. He never said it would be easy. But what he promised you is that you wouldn't have to go through it by yourself.
Amen.
Oh, I'm preaching to the right crowd.
Yes,
that's what he said. Yes, he never said, well, you ain't gonna have no problem. That's why I got problems with them churches that talk like that.
Yeah.
Ah, man, they'll mess you up.
Amen.
God ain't never said you'll never be broke a day in your life. You'll never have sickness. You're supposed to be well and not sick. God never said none of that mess. Say just the opposite, actually, because of James said, count it all joy when you, not if, when you fall into all these trials that surround you.
Yes.
Matthew 5, 12, I think says, rejoice and be exceeding glad.
Yes.
people lie on you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. God is sovereign. We really need to teach this the rest of the year, to be honest with you, and maybe even the rest of our lives, and you'll get a lot of freedom in understanding He's sovereign.
Amen.
Amen.
Express your grief and pain. Cry. He gave us tear ducts. Crying is cathartic. It's cleansing. Cry. But eventually, you're going to be able to dry your weeping eyes.
Yes, Lord.
Eventually.
Yes, Lord.
Eventually. Because He is a healer of the broken heart.
You are alone.
He's a healer of the disturbed mind.
Yes, you are.
He's a calmer and a soother of our souls.
Yes, you are.
And the glory and the lifter of our heads.
Amen.
That's who He is.
Yes, you are.
That's why we're going through this, to see who this God is. Who is this Father?
Hallelujah.
Who is my Father? Never said it was going to be easy. Never said it. But what He did promise is that you'll never go through it alone. You always travel with a gang of three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We said, where did you get that from? Well, three different verses. One, 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in you, that's in you. That's the Holy Spirit. You know this verse, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit in you, Christ in you. And then God said, I will walk in them and be with them. And they shall be my people. I'll be their Father. God the Father in you, God the Son in you, God the Holy Spirit in you. They never leave you nor forsake you. Then you're always traveling with a gang of three. So you are never alone. Now you and I, we must believe that.
Amen.
That's the bottom line. Do you believe it or not? That's what faith is. I'm not saying you feel it. Please. Because you're going to feel alone. You're going to feel like nobody knows the trouble I've seen. That's what it's going to feel like. Nobody knows my sorrow. That's what it's going to feel like. And what you must do, what I must do, what we must do, is fight those feelings. Look past our feelings and see faith. Because God is not moved by our feelings. God doesn't exist based on our feelings. Thank God He doesn't. Because sometimes things are so crazy, it feels like God is not there. Boy, if God is based on your feelings, then He's not there. He's not based on your feelings. He's based on fact.
Thank you, Lord.
On reality.
Thank you, Lord.
I got you, saith the Lord. I got your back, saith the Lord. You got to go through it. There's no way around it. But I got you in the middle of it.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
We got testimonies all over here how God has brought you out. In the middle of some craziness. And you still sitting here in your right mind. Tell me that God ain't good.
Hallelujah.
Y'all know that a lot of us have been through some things that we should be walking around and crazy in a rubber room with thick pad. Industrial strength rubber. Just crazy.
Amen.
But He kept us.
Mm-hmm.
He kept us.
Mm-hmm.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Can't make me doubt Him. Know too much about Him.
Yes.
Mm.
We serve a sovereign God.
Amen.
He running the show.
Yes, you are.
Don't be fooled by the chaos in the world. Ain't none of this a surprise to God. I keep reminding you, when you get the call, when I get the call, when we get the 2:30 call, that surprises us, but not God.
Amen.
The comfort I take in that immediately in that 2:30 call is, okay, God, you're not surprised by this. Walk me through it.
Amen.
What I do next. Because if I believe, even though it's not true, but if I believe that God don't know what's going on, then I'm in real trouble then. I'm messed up. But I understand that he saw all this from before the foundation of the world. No one can stop his hand, thwart his purpose. And no matter how horrible it is, he is working all things, everything, anything together for his good.
Thank you, Lord.
I gotta stand on that. I gotta stand on it. Somehow some good is coming out of this.
Amen.
We don't know how long it's gonna take. But somehow, God, you cannot lie. And since you cannot lie, meaning it is an impossibility, the word of God says it is impossible for God to lie.
Yes.
Since it is an impossibility, I mean everything you say is true, I stand on it regardless of what I feel, what I see, or what I think.
Amen. Amen.
I stand on that. Be encouraged, saints. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Everything is working together for good. That is one of the most gangsterized statements in the entire Bible. How can a God say that I'm working everything together for good unless you are in complete absolute authority? You have to be to say something like that.
Amen.
Everything he's orchestrated and bringing good out. He is the master of making lemonade out of lemons.
Amen.
He's the master at that.
Yes.
And I thank God that he is.
Yes.
Amen.
Just stand in there. Let patience have its complete work through the entire trial. Remember that. Let patience have its complete work all the way through the trial. Be a long trial. Long trial to keep on going. But let patience have its complete work all the way through.
Amen.
Then when it gets to the end,
yeah,
you'll be more mature, lacking nothing. Spiritual maturity happens in the hard times. Where do the lilies grow? Oh, preacher, you want to preach? Come up here and preach, because that's a good preaching right there. The lilies grow in the valley. Oh, preacher, I'm down in the valley. So you're in the right spot,
because
that's where the lilies grow. And the lily of the valley is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, man, I don't like your advice. It won't feel good. Am I right, my man? It won't feel good. You don't want to schmooze somebody. I don't need to be schmoozed. Yeah, that's not very helpful to just rub folks back all the time. And even you rubbing their back to give them a hard time. Yeah, but you know the Lord said we're gonna go through it.
Yes.
They think God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You rub their back with telling them what's going on. So you're going through this because you're living a godly life. The folk ain't treating you right. Won't do what they're supposed to do. That's because you say and live it right. I always say a true Christian that ain't got no troubles, I got a problem with you. I'm scared. I think I ain't got to give the official word that you're a Christian or not. But I got my doubts. Because Jesus said, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Some of us are just going through because we're living right. And God is testing our faith. We need our faith tested. I don't want assumed faith. Well, I assume, you know, if I went through this, and I assume I'll probably do that. And I don't want that. I want to know faith. I want to know exactly what's going on.
Sister Rolanda can say, I know that I got faith because my mom did die. Yeah. And she died suddenly. And my Lord and God walked me through it. I know in whom I believe. That's what you want to know. Amen. When your daughter died, when your sister died, you want to know that God brings you out. Amen. So when you tell somebody else, you can tell them without any reticence or hesitation that God will bring you out. He brought me out. Amen. Now come here, let me talk to you for a second.
Sure.
Spit that truth to them. Yes. You don't need opinions. You don't need theories. You got the word. You stood on the word and he brought you out. That's why you're here today. That's why I'm here today. That's why we're here today. Because of a sovereign God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's working everything together for our good. One preacher put it, he and he alone is orchestrating all of human history. And I know, you know, we're going to get into it later, but that doesn't mean that he's roboting folks. No. Folks doing just what they want to do. Person sell crack, smoke it, drink, till he drive, get in the car, drive and kill 9 people. They don't exactly what they want to do. What God is doing, he's using those ridiculous, crazy, evil acts somehow for his good. We don't know. We don't understand how he's doing that. Like I said, we don't always get the peek behind the curtain, but we've got some good peeks behind the murder and torture of the Lord. The illegal, unjust trial, the murder and torture of Jesus. The brutality that happened to Job. What happened to Joseph? So he's showing us some behind the scenes things. And God has given us enough to know, okay, well, God, you do use evil for your good. Now, said it earlier, when you don't know, then just have faith. Just trust and believe. Now, I went over this last time. God is orchestrating all of human history. But there's a term called fatalism. Just in case you run across that, I want to school you on that right quick. This is not fatalism. Fatalism, God's sovereignty does not result in fatalism. Fatalism is the belief that all events are predetermined and therefore inevitable. The case sera, sera, whatever will be. This means this. Fatalism says that there's no governing power. There's no master plan. There's no one in charge who is purposefully doing all of these things or allowing all of these things and fitting them together for a predetermined plan. Fatalism does not believe that. It looks at all of the occurrences, looks at all of the happenings throughout the universe, and concludes that they're just random happenings by chance. Just happening. Nobody's orchestrating nothing. That's why you hear things like, well, you know, fate. You know, you can't tempt fate and fate this and fate. These are just happening. That's why luck, that's why the word luck would come in. You're lucky, you know. Because this, your life went this way. Not that God graced you, none of that. Things are just randomly happening. Nobody is causing. There's no predetermined plan. There's no overall overarching purpose. It's just random acts happening by chance. By chance. Chance, which is the absence of any cause of events that can be predicted, understood, or controlled. It just happens by chance. It's just out there. It's like you spinning a top. You know, and then this spin. It may bump into the wall over here, there. We don't know. That's scary to think like that. Because your belief is there's no one in charge, no one in control. No predetermined plan. That's why people commit suicide. What's life? What is the use then? What's the
What's the purpose of my life? Why are we here? You don't understand that there's a God who has an eternal purpose. And you just talk that things are just by chance and just are happening by random chance with no rhyme or reason. I can see why you jump out a window when things are not going your way. That's very sad. What's the ultimate purpose? Why am I here? And even those who, as we're seeing the rich people commit suicide, like Anthony Bourdain, I think his name was, and Brett the Cook, right? And there was another lady too, right, at the same time. The same week almost. These are rich people. They come to that conclusion. What is it for? I ain't happy. That's sad. Lord, I know we don't realize how blessed we are to know that you are a sovereign God, that there is an overarching eternal purpose to all of this, and that in the end it's going to all work together for good. We're blessed to know that. When I was in my late teens, mid to late teens, and I say the embryonic or the beginning stages of suicide thoughts were coming to my mind, which were things like, nobody cared if you were here on this earth or not here. If you weren't here, would nobody miss you? Those were the beginning thoughts that were coming to me when I was 16, 17. I call them the early thoughts of suicide, because you just don't jump to go and let me hang myself. You got to think like that first, and then the devil just tries to walk you on and try to sell it to you. But that's how it begins, and that's what I believe. I felt that I was beginning to feel that my life had no purpose or meaning. You know, my mother loved me and my dad when he was alive. When you don't understand this, when you don't understand that there's a God there, that he's sovereign, that everything's going to work for good for those who love the Lord, when you don't know those things, then you start to think like that. Whether you have money or not, you don't have hope. Proverbs speaks about the hopelessness. No, they're not just happening with no assignable cause. There's no such thing as just chance, just random acts, chance. There's no such thing, really, technically speaking, we use the word a lot as coincidence. Coincidence is an occurrence of events that happened at the same time by total accident. That's what coincidence implies, but we know it's not a total accident. It was by divine appointment. Luck is the force that seems to operate for good or ill in a person's life, as in shaping circumstances, events, or opportunities. And notice I said, seems to operate. That's what folks look at luck as. Another definition of luck: a combination of circumstances, events, etc., operating by chance to bring good or ill to a person. All of that, luck, chance, coincidence, all of that is very different than the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God is God purposefully taking all events, every event, every action, all actions, and every and all contingencies. Contingencies mean possibilities, likelihoods, incidents, seen and unforeseen. And works through them to bring about his predetermined end. I'm going to read that again, because that is an amazing definition of sovereignty. The sovereignty of God is God purposefully taking all action, every action, all events and every event, and all contingencies and every contingency. Remember, contingency again is every and all possibilities, likelihoods, and incidents seen and unforeseen. He takes all of that and works through them to bring about his predetermined end. Because God does have a predetermined